Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. We'll hear from Nick Caserio here in just a second. Seth and I are going down the memory lane with the draft with the Texans. What were you looking up just now?
I was looking up. I wanted to look up because we're going to talk about Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, who's nailed it with the Texans a couple times. Well, at least with two picks, most notably. He predicted that the Texans would draft C.J. Stroud, and then he predicted in his final mock draft that they would trade up for Will Anderson. It's impossible not to think that he had some inside intel on that.
With the Cardinals, like from 12 to 3, the exact trade.
Right.
At least the amount they moved up, yeah.
So I was like, okay, what would he predict in 2022? 2022, he was not close at all with the Texans because with the number 3 pick, he had them taking Ikem Ekwonu, the offensive tackle.
Can you imagine if they drafted Ikem Ekwonu instead of Derek Stingley Jr.?
That wouldn't have been a good idea at all.
No, yeah. Where did Stingley go in that draft?
Stingley ended up going 12th, right before the Texans. And he Daniel Jeremiah had the Texans taking Jermaine Johnson, the second edge rusher.
Okay.
So, passing up, I don't know if we're, you know what's interesting? Let's see where Kenyon Green went in, not in the first round.
Yeah, Stingley and Kenyon Green, compared to where they were going in mock drafts that year, were both reaches. The Texans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder exactly how because I want to give Daniel Jeremiah credit for having a lot of sourced info and all that. Yet at the same time, at least as it relates to the Texans, he didn't quite nail it that year.
Do you still have that open right now, that 2022 draft? Where did Kyle Hamilton go in that draft?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because Jordan Davis, I think the Texans would have passed on Jordan Davis, which they did kind of by trading down.
By trading out back,
of the position to draft him.
Yep.
Hold on one second. Who did you ask about?
Kyle Hamilton.
NFL.com is a weird site because it. Okay. The Eagles with the 15th pick.
Okay, so right in that neighborhood there. Yeah.
The Eagles. Oh, no. Okay, so he had Jordan Davis going to the Ravens and then Kyle Hamilton going to the Eagles.
Yeah.
So he was off on that one.
He had him in the right neighborhood, but the wrong houses.
Right neighborhood, but if he would have known, really, really known, he would have known that, man, if the Ravens have a choice between Jordan Davis and Kyle Hamilton, they'll totally take Kyle Hamilton, not Jordan Davis.
But the Eagles jumped ahead of the Ravens.
Oh, so you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
Yes, you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles jumped. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the Eagles jumped up to take Jordan Davis with the Texans. Yeah. So, and then the Texans wound up with Kenyon Green.
So it was Jordan Davis, then Kyle Hamilton?
Yes, it was Jordan Davis 13, Kyle Hamilton 14, and then Kenyon Green 15.
I had those flipped in my brain.
Yeah. Okay. Here's Nick Caserio yesterday at his pre-draft press conference saying, we will never and never have drafted on need.
Yeah, well, we've never drafted for need around here. I mean, we're never going to. So we're going to pick the best player that we feel fits our program, regardless of the position. I'd say other than quarterback, I mean, I'd say pretty much any position is on the table. So like it always is. So try to stay true to our board. That's the reason we grade the players. So we put the players on the board. We grade them accordingly. We value them accordingly relative to what we think the role is going to be. And then we take them off the board as we see fit. So, I mean, that's not going to change.
And they evaluate the quarterbacks too. We asked him about that when he was on with us a couple of weeks ago. Nick Caserio, if you missed that interview, it's up on our podcast page, Payne and Pendergast. But I, you know, he said something later in the press conference, which, you know, obviously we've known for years, but him saying it in conjunction with all this draft talk, that there are other ways to get players in the building. You know, that I start to soften a little bit on just how much I feel like that general managers, not just Nick, but general managers in general that say we never draft on need. I always feel like they treat it like it's some sort of weakness that they draft on need. Like, you know, it's okay to draft. It's okay to need things. And then you have an opportunity to go get those things and then go get them. But every GM, it feels like, says we don't draft on need. You do forget that we just had free agency. There's going to be more. There's still more free agents out there. Yeah. You point this out all the time. There's going to be guys available in trades probably still, even after the
especially
draft.
Especially after
is
over. The draft. Yeah. I think the other thing, too, is that I think every GM in his heart of hearts wants to draft best player available because it's a good strategy. Like, the Ravens have probably done the best job of it. They famously drafted Jonathan Ogden when they already had two good starting offensive tackles. It was just like, hey, that's the best player available. And they've been like that for decades where they genuinely take the best player available. Because when you start drafting for need, and GMs know this, you're overrating your own ability to rate these players. That you think, oh, okay, this is the guy for us right now, when it's really a crapshoot. And it's that as a GM, it's like a baseball player at the plate. Like, yeah, you're gonna miss two times as many as you get a hit. And it's not as simple as okay, this is the guy we need, let's take him right now.
Yep.
So if you try to over time draft the best player available, you end up with a team full of good players.
Yeah, it's a great point. Nick Caserio talked about small school guys yesterday, evaluating small school guys. John Harris had the Texans selecting Gray Zabel, North Dakota State interior offensive lineman, in his mock draft earlier, and I thought made a pretty good case for why he would be a good fit for the Texans. But this we know, that in the four drafts he's conducted for the Texans so far, Nick Caserio has picked one non-power conference player, and it was Tank Dell, whose team went into the Big 12 the following year. So it's not like he's been plucking guys from, you know, South Kennesaw State and Chattanooga and places like that. Here was Caserio yesterday on evaluating small school guys. Do you feel like, after listening to this, that Gray Zabel is still in the crosshairs here for the Texans?
I think the nature of the draft, in the end, there's a projection element, regardless of how much a player has or has not played. When you're playing at a lower level, quote unquote, a lower level, there's obviously going to be an adjustment period that takes place. So is there an opportunity to evaluate that, like you said, in the Senior Bowl or East West or something like that? I mean, I'd say those two games done a pretty good job of maybe bringing in some lower level, smaller school players. But it's a huge jump. There's no question about it. So how are they going to handle it? I'd say, you know, going back to, you know, Duggar, there's another example in New England, you know, basically small school kid. I mean, they were playing against like the 20 of us in this room, like basically nobody. And then, you know, went to the Senior Bowl, and I'm including myself in that equation. And then, you know, went to the Senior Bowl and did okay. So is there some evidence along the way? But so you have to, again, it's all right, here's the player. Here's what we think he does well. You might have to not downgrade it based on a level of competition, but there's a little bit of difference, you know, what the guy does against LSU versus what he does against, you know, Western Tennessee State or somebody like that, if that's who they're playing every week. So you're not going to eliminate a player, but, you know, give him an opportunity. But, you know, not every player can make that jump. So, I mean, it's case by case like a lot of this is, but there's a projection element that's involved. No question about it.
Is there anything that moves you one way or the other on the Texans taking a guy like Gray Zabel in the first round?
I think this is where, with Nick, he's talked before about, you know, with Derek Stingley himself, one of the things they liked about it was the ability to watch him versus high-caliber competition for multiple years, including
in practice
film, going against Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and all these other guys.
Two best guys in the league right now.
Right, so when you want to try to have as much evidence as possible that I can trust this guy, that like he's done good things for a long time, I can see why he just trusts that more, and it's not like he's saying the guys from the smaller schools can't do it. The Patriots, and he provided a couple examples yesterday, the Patriots drafted a bunch of small school guys, and some of them worked out very well for him. I think Nick just likes that huge body of work that he can judge people on. Look, I'm a small school guy. And it's 100% true. Everything that Nick just said, there's only so much you can tell from guys whipping up on people who are physically inferior to them. It's like, that's the bare minimum. Like, okay, he played at a lower school. Did he beat up on those kids?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But I still haven't, I can't just extrapolate that and say, oh yeah, well, he would have done the same thing in the SEC every week. So that's where I feel like there are a lot of things I really, really like about Gray Zabel. When I try to put myself in Nick Caserio's shoes, yeah, I think that part, that uncertainty about it is what's going to knock Gray Zabel down below a guy like Donovan Jackson or Kelvin Banks or some of the other offensive linemen that might be sitting right there. Those guys have done it at a higher level of competition for a much longer time than one week in Mobile.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
We'll get to Daniel Jeremiah here in just a second. As long as we're talking about this, I've had fun talking about this with you today because you brought up your draft selection story earlier. I thought was great. For you, the first time you physically went against an NFL player was probably in training camp your rookie year. The last person you'd gone against physically was probably against Princeton or Yale or somebody like that. Like, what was that like? What was the, did the difference feel like? Whole, what did you feel like in that moment is what I'm trying to ask.
I felt fine.
Yeah.
I felt like I was beating the crap out of the rookies.
Yeah.
That's where I got pissed that a lot of these guys even got
went
scholarships.
Ahead of you. Yeah.
Because I felt like, man, there were guys in the Ivy League that were a tougher challenge than some of you fat clods.
Yes.
That just had overactive pituitary glands when you were 16 years old. So you got a scholarship and you went to a football factory. Then you get drafted because you're 6'6", but you're a wuss. You know, like I got, I very much kept and retain to this day that my chip against soft offensive linemen who were just oversized doofuses that got scholarships and sometimes drafted just because they're oversized doofuses. Screw those guys. That's what I felt. Now, as far as the actual good players, that was an adjustment. Yeah, like the Jaguars had big offensive linemen too. So you're going against guys that really, like, it was like, oh, this is a different world.
There's a different, guys are, dimensions
these,
are different.
These guys are huge and they can move really well, and I've never seen anything like it. But my college coach, Pete DeStefano, was a really, really good position coach. So I had really good technique above and beyond what pretty much any rookie from any football factory school had. So it was an easier adjustment for me than people thought it would be. So it wasn't as, I wasn't as blown away by it. Now, but that's in training camp. Then you get into the real games and then you realize like, oh, okay. Oh, those huge mountainous athletic dudes were actually going three-quarter speed in practice.
Yeah.
So it was more of a, the first couple weeks of training camp, it wasn't as big a deal for me as like the actual adjustment in season.
Your promo that you cut on fat rookie offensive lineman was, I expected a good answer. That was,
you can
just drop the mic and leave if you want to.
No, and that's where I still have a grudge against whenever I see in a scouting report that an offensive lineman is tough and nasty.
Yeah.
My first thought is, all right, well, why didn't he play defensive line? And second, all right, he's been doing it against guys in the MAC, or he's been doing it against these, you know, he faces two or three actual men a year in the SEC.
Trevor Penning is what
I'm
hearing.
He's doing it versus boys. Yeah, let's see how he does versus actual men.
Yep. Here's Daniel Jeremiah, former scout. That was a great answer. That was just an outstanding answer. Daniel Jeremiah, former Ravens scout, current draft analyst for the NFL Network. Typically, at least with the Texans, last 2 years ago, very accurate with his mock draft of drafting C.J. Stroud and trading up to get Will Anderson. He predicted that. Here's who he thinks the Texans states with great positivity here.
The Houston Texans, it's going to be the law firm of Booker or Banks. Like, they're drafting an offensive lineman between those two guys, whoever's there.
Okay. I mean, he's stating that as facts.
So he's basically saying Tyler Booker or Kelvin Banks. Tyler Booker, the offensive guard out of Alabama, or Kelvin Banks from up the road at University of Texas.
And you're good with either of those guys.
Yeah, I am. And I think that, you know, John brought up the minuses on any of them. And that you have to remind yourself that, okay, the guys that are there at 25 are going to have minuses. And the one with Kelvin Banks that makes me, or I guess that I needs to improve and he needs to prove that he can do it, is that, man, there's times where his upper body and his lower body aren't quite attached. He's getting out. He's got his hands on a guy, but his feet are still back a couple steps behind in the play. And he gives up an edge because of that. He's athletic enough to make up for it, but you just, with offensive linemen, and this is one thing I do like about Gray Zabel, is you want to be able to show that the guy can win with his feet, because if you try to win with just your hands, then you end up getting a holding call because you're getting dragged behind a guy. That's, as it is with anybody with the 25th pick overall, that's what he needs to improve on. I think he has the athletic ability to improve on it, but it's not a slam dunk guarantee, which is why he might go. Now, Kelvin Banks, I think, is probably going to go, at least according to mock drafts,
ahead of 25.
Going like around 15 or so. So the Texans might have to trade up for him. That's where it gets maybe a little bit rich for me. I feel like there's more. There's just not quite as polished a product as I'd like to see in it at the 15th or 16th pick.
Well, is Nick Caserio paying attention to this conjecture on the mock drafts? This is what he had to say about it yesterday.
I would just say some are probably more relevant than others because some are getting the information from the teams. Like, they're not just making it up themselves. Like, they're talking to teams saying, hey, you know, so that's how they're building it, right? So they're getting intel. I'd say agents are involved. Like, they're getting intel. All right. So you try to gather information, but you have to be careful about how much you actually put in the information. And then what can you trust and what can you rely on? And you're just trying to get yourself in the ballpark.
We need to play that cut again tomorrow. My project for today, I'm going to go to Drew Doherty's mock draft rundown, or the where he gathers all the mock drafts. I want to come up with the ones we think are the most reliable ones. Like, which ones are the ones that Nick and the Texans probably use?
Yeah, well, and I do think he talked about how their process has changed in various ways without giving any detail really about, you know, they do things differently every year. They're always changing
every
things.
Yeah.
And Nick has talked about the mock drafts before, in a way where he said that he almost like acknowledged their existence and that there's some value to them, but I don't think he's ever given an answer quite as specific as that before, has he? So I think, you know, he said somebody should, I feel like this is one thing I suspect with Nick. Every time he says somebody should do a study on it, I feel like they've already done a study on it. That might be a tell that, like, he's like, somebody should do a study on that because certainly we haven't.
He knows the answers already,
Yeah, they got 20 people that are involved in sports science or analytics or whatever in that building. I feel like somewhere along the way, If Nick Nick is saying somebody should do a study, he's got plenty of people that can do that study.
That's a great point. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Seth is still just mad about Trevor Penning. Favorite draft season was, this is another text. Favorite draft season was when Penning was coming out. And Seth just keeps yelling, he's not a badass if he waits till after the whistle to throw guys into the ground after he gets beat.
It continues to this day.
Yeah.
Because he is an awful, awful pass protector. We saw that a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. The Texans destroyed Trevor Penning. Mm-hmm. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
He should have quit football after that. But he is a good run blocker. He's turned into a good run blocker. But a lot of the times, people gush over, like, ooh, did you see him drive that free safety out of bounds? Like, oh, did you see him drive that cornerback downfield? Like,
150 pounds lighter than him.
Good for him. Yeah. Yeah. And it also bothers me that the people that still were adamant that they want to gush about Trevor Penning, all anybody ever cares about is this Pro Football Focus pass protection grade. With Trevor Penning, all of a sudden, they become old school grinders.
Oh, yeah.
Look at his run blocking grades.
Yeah.
Like, all right, yeah.
Yep.
It's exactly what you want to spend a first round pick on these days, is a run blocking specialist.
That's right. Yeah. A tackle. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Is this the story that looms over the Rockets this entire postseason? And is it a distraction? It's going to spoil it for you. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.